This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We start with a story you probably have not heard before, at least in this context. It involves a religious sect that you probably haven't heard of, but the story speaks to a more basic human issue, the freedom to choose one's destiny.
There are nearly 50,000 Hutterites living in small colonies in places such as North Dakota and the Canadian province of Manitoba. It's a distinct faith, but does have elements in common with the Mennonite and Amish traditions, such as the simple dress it requires of its adherents and a separation from the influences of the modern world.
A few years ago, 9 people from various Hutterite colonies left the fold. They were leaving to pursue the freedom to worship in the way they wanted to, but also to find all the other freedoms that most of us take for granted.
They've written a couple of books about their experience, and more recently, the 9, as they call themselves, have moved to northern Wisconsin. But with events at a couple of bookstores in this area, 2 of the 9, siblings Cheryl Waldner and Rodney Waldner, are in the studio with us now. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us, Mitch. We appreciate it.
Well, let's start with where you lived before. You each grew up in a Hutterite colony in Manitoba, I think it was. And the image we probably have of life in one of these colonies is of a fairly simple life, but you would describe it in different terms.
Yes, it is simple, but it was very oppressive and very restricted. And growing up in it, you don't realize it, but once we all were adults, all 9 of us, we all felt the same thing without communicating with one another. We all had the same feelings. Because growing up in that environment, we thought it's normal to live like that, for women not to have rights and not to be able to have a driver's license, not speaking what's on your heart. And out here in the world, it's normal to share your feelings. Even, like, for example, a family having a meal together. It's a normal thing, but we never had that because the men were usually separated from the women, like in church. And
a family never eats together.
No, like it would be a very rare occasion, maybe twice a year, or except like at home for a snack. But like a meal, it's always in the kitchen. Well, those simple things you think are normal growing up, but leaving that system, there's so many things that after we left, we realized how we grew up wasn't normal. But it's hard to see it until you leave.
You were isolated from much of modern American and Canadian society, but not entirely, right? There were things that existed in the colonies, like cars and bikes and even rollerblades. How did you view the world that existed beyond the colonies?
It was we viewed it as an evil thing, something that you partook of only as much as you had to just to get by doing business. But like you were saying, some of those simple things as skates or cars or – there came restrictions. A lot of restriction came with that. I mean you could – or if you wanted to go to town, you had to ask. You couldn't just, okay, I need to go to town. I want to take my friend out. We're going to go out for supper. Those things you never even asked, let alone go do it. So now that we leave, sometimes we even forget now those simple things to actually appreciate them and actually be thankful for them.
Paint a picture of what life is like. I mean, you said, as you describe it, it was simple and at the same time oppressive in many ways. What is employment like? What is education like? What do people do on a day-to-day basis in a Hutterite colony?
Well, there's a lot of agriculture and then there's also livestock. So the males, they have a job assigned to them. Like you don't choose where you'd want to work. So they pick, the men vote on everything. Even like there's only a couple of things that a woman can do as far as leadership, which would be in the kitchen and in the garden. But even the men vote on that. Some colonies are different, but the one where we were from, education was not an important thing. Like you only went to school till about age 15, and that's when you became an adult, so you were expected to work full-time for the colony. So then there was that you wanted to please the colony because there's a lot of fear there and performance-based, so you'd want to work. And also even your heart, you wanted education, but because as a woman especially, you don't see the need for education because the future would be getting married and having children, working in the garden. You don't see the need for an education.
Rodney Waldner, if there were advantages to being a man in a Hutterite colony, did you also feel oppression?
Yes, I felt oppression in many ways, and I guess it came down to partiality. I mean, there are certain members that would have more rights than other members, and there's a lot of those things you couldn't really do anything about it. You just had to go along. if you could push your way through at times, good for you. But I guess I wasn't that type of person. I didn't quite have that personality back then.
Who decides who has more rights than others in a Hutterite colony?
Well, there's like three key leaders in the colony, which would be the secretary, the minister, and the farm boss. And those positions comes authority or power, and those children tend to have more than others. So you grow up in that system, and it's just the way it is. That's the way that system has been for all the time I've known it.
You know, we've been talking for 5 or 6 minutes here, and the first thing people probably noticed when they started listening to this interview is that you do not sound typically American or Canadian, and there is a distinct dialect that's used in Hutterite colonies. How does that dialect affect the Hutterites' relationship with the wider world?
It brings a hindrance. It is a barrier because from young on, that's the first language we learned. And I remember growing up and people would come from the outside even to visit. I did not want to speak because I was totally not fluent in English. And even in school, our teacher always had that struggle trying to make us speak English, but we wouldn't do it. So that thing, it always made me feel like I can't associate with people on the outside. They would never understand. I'm so different than even our clothes brought such a separation that it seemed like we live in totally different worlds. And that has been one thing that has been so enjoyable for me, for all of us, to learn like so many different cultures out here, and that realizing as human beings, we all need each other. We're not meant to just stick to ourselves and think we're the best and that nobody can compare to us. It's like we're all created by God. We all want love. We all want acceptance. It doesn't matter where we're from.
You say we all want love. Do I understand right? There is no word for love in the Hutterite dialect?
That's right. Yeah, it took a while after we left to actually figure that out. That is actually so strange. Like, growing up, we would never say "I love you" or like that. There wasn't much.
Did you not have that feeling at all?
Sometimes I try to remember certain things. Like I don't remember having any emotions because I was so not used to sharing my feelings about much of anything that I came to the point I didn't even realize they were there. Like us as women, after we left and the people that took us in and helped us, they would ask us, okay, what do you like to do? Okay, for example, even the very basic thing, what would be your favorite color? We had no idea. It's like, how can you be so dull, so boring? But we became so stuck, so bound. I praise God that we left when we did. I couldn't imagine my life now if I'd left there or stayed there, I should say.
You were each how old when you left?
I was 17.
And I was 20.
And then the oldest of the nine was 25, and I was the youngest.
When you're 17 or 20 or 25, how do you decide what your favorite color is?
Well, I guess once we left the colony, and some people were just – or the people that took us in would just ask us those simple questions, and we'd have to look at ourselves like, what is my favorite color? And then sometimes you'd actually go way back when we were younger – we realized that some of our dreams, when we grew up, we knew we had to put them aside. We knew those things that didn't matter. So if you look far back enough, you could dig up some of those things. I remember back then, I did have some joy back then, but then I can look back now and see how it all went away and why it went away and what my favorite color was. And I guess some of those things weren't important, so we just worked harder. And now you can probably understand, Mitch, looking from the outside, to be able to look at it objectively now, it is easier to see those things, but when we were in the midst of it, it was so hard to see any of this.
So what are your favorite colors?
Red.
I like green.
And green. I have two favorite colors.
So at the heart of this, you left the Hutterite colony to be able to pursue your faith freely. And this is where I think the story might also be surprising because I think looking at it from the outside, people might see the Hutterite faith as being based in the Christian Bible. How do you see the reality of its religious teachings as, I don't know, oppressive rather than redeeming, if you will?
Well, like one scripture that comes to mind now that you're speaking is how it says the Lord will give us abundantly above all what we could ask or think. Like when we heard about Jesus and the colony, it was actually through outside people that came to the colony and preached about salvation, that it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which growing up in the colony was way more complicated than that. Like as an adult, you get baptized and that makes you a member of the church, officially a Christian. That's what people say. That's when I became a Christian. But it had nothing to do with ever sharing your faith personally. And it's more about the way of life. That's more their religion. And just going to church every day, but never speaking about it. Never, okay, how does it affect you personally? It wasn't about that. So when we heard about that and we received Jesus into our heart, then we started feeling that peace and that joy. Like, we wanted more of that. We wanted to associate with people that felt the same way, that thought the same. And when we tried to do that, like asking the leadership if we can go and visit, well, instantly that was a no-no. They did not want us to associate with any people that believe like we do, because it actually, it brings a threat to the Hutterite way of life. And we didn't leave because we hated that life so much. It was more a thing of survival. And God, as it were, rewarded us so much by leaving, giving more than I ever imagined it would be. So, like, I didn't even realize the freedom we don't have there.
If, and this is a hypothetical, obviously, but if the Hutterite leadership had said, okay, you know, pursue what you want to do, or you know, you can certainly visit these other colonies or other places and learn about what other people see as their path. Do you think you would have stayed?
It makes me wonder, actually. Sometimes I think I'm actually glad I was miserable, because if I would have been happy, maybe I would have never wanted to leave. And like, well, God can use anything for good.
I guess I know what you're saying. It is hypothetical, but then on the other hand, it says in the Bible that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, a lot of things that Hutterites do is not right. It's not scripturally based. It's actually against the Word of God. It's very oppressive. Jesus isn't oppressive. His teachings don't teach that. So I believe the more teaching we would have gotten in the colony, which we did, the more we saw. So it's either we speak up and get kicked out, or stay and compromise and be quiet. Well, we didn't want to do that.
Well, and so let me ask you each. I mean, think back on the day that you left your colony. I mean, you say you had your faith, and that because of it, you knew that it was the right thing to do. But at the same time, it must have been terrifying to go into the unknown.
Well, before we left, a couple months before, we were excommunicated. So it took actually a number of years receiving the rejection in the colony, realizing we're not wanted there anymore. Like, at the beginning, it was hard. It's like, I don't want to leave. That's the only life I know. It was very scary, especially not having a clue in the world where you're going to go.
I mean, even though you're excommunicated, even though you know that the colony doesn't want you there anymore, going to someplace completely different where those influences don't exist must have been a little like, I don't know, jumping out of an airplane.
It was, but I remember the very first day we went and visited a group of people that they invited us to stay for that day. The feeling I felt, the joy, it felt like actually literal change was taken off of me. Because before that, I thought, like often thought, I don't know if somebody would ask me what peace is. I didn't know if I've ever felt peace. That's how hopeless and depressed I felt. But that day, I felt joy and peace, and even like some of my brothers and sisters, they went back to the colony to get our luggage. And I said, okay, I'm not going home. You guys can bring my stuff. I'm staying. I can't go back. So that joy, that peace, no matter what the situation was, I didn't know what the future holds, but it didn't matter.
I guess it made a bit of a difference that it was a gradual thing, because my dad got excommunicated and we went through the process. And for me, it came down to, okay, my parents didn't leave right away. And like she was sharing earlier, it was do or die for me. It's like, I cannot live here anymore. I know my life is going nowhere. So it was right here, right now. I got to make that decision. And yes, it was hard. It's like, how am I going to step out of this house, leaving my parents behind, and going out into the unknown world? Well, it's the best thing I've ever done. It might be one of the hardest decisions or the biggest decisions, but yet it wasn't that hard. The thought of it was harder. And I would encourage anybody, wherever you are, whoever listening, you might find yourself in a tough situation, or you might find yourself in a bit of a rut, or maybe you've just gotten comfortable doing the same thing every day. There's something tugging at your heart. You feel like maybe you're supposed to do it, but you're afraid. Go for it. Follow your heart. You only have one life to live. Make the most of it.
There were some very basic things that you had never done before you left the colony. Women were not allowed to have driver's licenses. You didn't have your own bank accounts. You'd never bought modern clothes from a store. How did you learn those things?
It was gradual, like getting a driver's license. At first, I didn't want to hear any of it because, like, I'm not capable. I cannot do it. And I had to be encouraged with a lot of things that it didn't just happen. People actually mentored us and taught us, okay, this is how to do it. So I'm so thankful for people that helped us after we left because on my own, I don't think I could have done it. So now we want to be a support system. And even with the books, getting our word, the word out, and our heart is to go nationwide. We want to make ourselves available, or we are making, and we're willing to help people.
But given how long you had been in this Hutterite system, did you find for a time, even after you left, that you were still looking over your shoulder all the time?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a struggle sometimes. I mean, even a thing to communicate, but then we had to really watch so we don't fall into even another system, let's say, and actually conform to the world. Well, this is how, let's say, this person does things. Well, what's in my heart? What do I feel that, how do I need to do it? And that was one of the things. We didn't just want to jump from one thing into another. And I'm not saying the world is bad out here, but it's so important to find what your God-given giftings are, what your talents are, and actually, like I said earlier, to follow your heart.
Well, and I was going to ask that because, you know, there are nine of you and you do this work together. Are there ever fears that some of the same issues that arose within one system might arise in the system that you're essentially creating together?
And we see how it easily could happen, but we are very open with each other. We communicate clearly often all the time, which we did not have that in the colony. It was more, if there was problems, you'd bottle it up all inside and hold on to that thing forever. That's how we grew up. That's how it was done. But now we share, we speak, we pray together all the time. We realize that we have to do it together. God put us together, and that is the difference. We know that the Lord Jesus put us together for this purpose, to get that word out, that book, and none of us could do it alone.
Why did you choose Wisconsin? I know the two of you still are more often in Thunder Bay, Ontario, but the nine as a whole, you have this property in Wisconsin. Why did you choose Wisconsin?
I guess if I have to put it very simply, and a lot of people ask, we prayed and the Lord told us to come here. Drove through a few times. It just, something touched us. There's something in our heart. It's like the Lord was doing something. We prayed and he said, move to Wisconsin. It's time to leave. And you just come here. And that's very simply it.
Because in our second book, we write that we have a vision to have a place so people could come, that we could help people the same way we were helped. And we didn't find it where we were before. And then, like you said, God led us to come to Wisconsin. Now we are very excited to fulfill that vision.
Do you feel like, do you have unfinished business to attend to in regard to the Hutterites?
I don't know about unfinished business. We're willing to do whatever God would say because we love the Hutterite people. And the more I'm out of it and the more we speak the truth, the more God puts a love in my heart for them. Because, I mean, certain times you have to speak the truth. In order to speak the truth and get the message out, you have to expose the lie. And it's not our heart to bash anybody, but it's just, I didn't see anybody writing any books and saying it like it is, because when we left, we had to hear it like it is to get out of it. It wouldn't have helped us to come out and say, okay, it was so good and all of that. No, we needed to hear what the truth is, black and white. That's what helped us. So that is why we are saying it like it is now too. And we know and we're hearing that all the Hutterite colonies have at least our first book. So that is encouraging because physically we couldn't have gone there. We weren't welcome to go there.
We talked before about how you weren't even sure what your favorite things to do were when you left the colony. How did you come to water skiing?
Well, within our first year of leaving the colony, we went on vacation to California, which was totally new to us. And we met some friends there and they had a boat and the people that took us had water skied before and they encouraged us to do it. And I love water. Some of us were scared. Some of us didn't want to do it. I didn't think I'd like it. But I felt, okay, I'm going to try it. And the first time I tried it, I absolutely loved it. It made me feel so free and liberated. And ever since then, I've just loved doing it.
And I'm not going to lie to you, Mitch. It was very scary. I mean, this is something I had never done before. And first of all, I couldn't get up. So I went on shore. Like, I can't get up. I'm so afraid. I'm so scared. I mean, I mean, I can understand if I was a young child, maybe, but I was like 20 years old, and I'm afraid. I'm full of fear. Like, I got to get back out there. I got to get on the water. I got to fight this. I am not a quitter. Maybe in the colony I would have sat down, but no. God, you got greater things for me, and really, this isn't such a big deal. And I got up, and it was awesome.
And it helps me on my personal walk every day today, because, like, overcoming certain fears, certain comfort zone. Okay, I have to go above my comfort zone. And I notice that every time I do it and I overcome on the water, it helps me in my day-to-day walk and what I do.
It's like the water skiing is kind of a metaphor for everything you're
yes.
doing.
Yes.
It is. Yes.
Well, it is truly a fascinating story. And Cheryl Waldner and Ronnie Waldner, thank you so much for sharing it with us. Best of luck.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Cheryl Waldner and Rodney Waldner are siblings. They're part of a group that calls itself the Nine, all former members of Hutterite colonies in the U.S. and Canada who have left the religious sect. They've written two books, The Hutterites, Our Story to Freedom, and Since We Told the Truth. They live in Park Falls, Wisconsin, and Thunder Bay, Ontario, and we'll talk about their books and their lives this evening at Book World in West Bend and Sunday afternoon at Barnes & Noble in Glendale.